Hello, this is Matt, the Jesus Lizard. You know who I am, and I know who you are.
I'm just mad about Saffron.
Ah!
Oh, Saffron's mad about me. I'm just mad about Saffron. She's just mad about me. They call me Mellow Yellow, quite frankly. They call me Mellow Yellow, quite frankly. They call me Mellow Yellow. I'm just mad about 14. A 14's mad about me.
Thank you.
Special fabulous radio listeners, and welcome to a new year of Loveline.
Happy New Year, 1998.
We've been away for a while, as you know, and I've gotten at least 350 email messages wondering whether the show had been canceled or thrown off the air. I know DJ Juan has, or DJ Pablo.
Juan. I'm not DJ.
Received numerous communiques from overseas.
Absolutely.
On the same topic, and don't worry, we're back. We're better than ever. We have a new kind of relaxed format. We're here on the south side at the Loveline Cafe, the south side of Pittsburgh, and we're just going to sit back, relax, tell a few jokes, have a few laughs.
And talk, because we feel we know you already.
So let's introduce ourselves. I'm DJ Delilah 2000, after my favorite radio personality, Delilah.
And I'm Juan, after my favorite charmer.
Your favorite coffee?
Don Giovanni.
And because I can't remember my last pseudonym, I'm going by Jake tonight.
Mm-hmm. Hello, Jake. Welcome Jake to the show. Jake has been here before, in two occasions, in fact.
Three, actually, if you count the Thanksgiving a long time ago. But anyway, and I also called in once. Mm-hmm. I'm a repeat offender.
Well, you're a... The way you offend is very interesting and powerfully arousing, I might add. So, well, I was on assignment. I went to my old hangout in Spain over this break. I went to see how the sex scene had changed there. And
what part of Spain was this in?
This was everywhere because I moved around, but in the northwest particularly, it has an interesting mixture of Roman and Celtic features in the local sex life. Reflects that, but there are bagpipes involved usually. So the I'm pleased to announce that things haven't changed very much. I'm not sure that people there have a lot more sex than here. They probably don't. But sex is present in every aspect of your life.
Well, the Spanish are very passionate people, from what I understand, and from my interactions with you.
Oh, I'm a poor reflection of the ethos of that country.
Well, that's even so, you're the most passionate man I've ever been with, straight or gay. And even without the bagpipes, I have to say that our encounter was powerfully aroused.
Well, can be distracting, but we also don't wear any skirts, so it's a little difficult. But I don't know if it's true that the Spanish are passionate people, but they certainly bring their sex is part of life. And it's so much so that people don't notice it anymore. They don't think they're being sexual. But it's better. When I'm there, I like to wear loose underwear, for example. Because
really?
There is so much stuff that is arousing in a very subtle and, you know, undercover way, constantly. From the time you order a coffee in the morning until the time you order your gin tonic at night, it's wonderful.
The siesta, is there sexuality
Yeah, but at that point, it's individual. The warmth of the food, the lazy afternoon, the covers, especially in the winter, right? It's quite conducive to spontaneous.
The purpose of the loose underwear is to allow your erection to move freely about in your pants. Is that right, or is there something?
No. It's not. See, it's subtle, understated, undercover. So you're constantly like going, but it's not. It doesn't have these physical manifestations, perhaps, all the time. It's just. It makes you happy. It makes people happy all the time to get some.
The loose underwear, though. I'm specifically concerned about the loose underwear. Why?
I don't even know what that means, loose underwear.
Well, that's what I'm getting at.
Waistband stretched out?
You can have slips, right? Or you can have things that are more or less elastic, or you can have cotton, or you can have boxer shorts. And the looser the underwear, the more like dancing it is when you walk down the street.
The more like dancing.
Don't insist on this topic because I couldn't, I'm not a poet and I couldn't possibly put the feeling into words. But anyway, so I was pleased to see that that hadn't changed, and that's my New Year resolution. I was determined to keep as much of that as I could when I came back. The work life is slowly eroding into that great feeling, but nevertheless, I will fight. And how about you guys? Did you have any New Year's resolution, Jake?
Yeah, actually, this year I didn't make any New Year's resolutions. I had a pretty boring, obnoxious.
Nothing like try what you've never tried before, or Donovan like stuff.
Went to Southern California on a field mission out there, but unfortunately the weather didn't cooperate, and so I.
Oh, negative results are also results.
There you go. Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm.
And you DJ Delilah, I don't know.
Samson. Delilah, you've never listened to radio personality Delilah, I take it. She's fabulous. Well, I had a kind of a New Year's resolution, although I hesitate to call it that because New Year's resolutions are things that we typically make only half seriously, and then they're soon forgotten about and broken. Mm-hmm. I'm very serious about this, and so it's not really a New Year's resolution.
The fact that it happened around the New Year was a coincidence then?
Right. It's just something that I decided was the right thing to do.
And what is it?
Well,
is it too personal?
It is a little personal, but I think I've come to terms with it. I've decided to renounce what I previously had called
C++.
Well, of course not. I just decided to renounce my homosexuality.
What?
I was living the persona and the lifestyle of a gay man, but I suddenly woke up one morning and this was more. I didn't really wake up. I mean, this is a gradual. I had been unhappy in this lifestyle for a long time, and suddenly a series of events started happening where I realized I was more and more unhappy in this lifestyle, and I realized it was not the natural state.
I'm speechless. Isn't being gay a matter of genes or at least environment, but environment from when you were really young?
I think the gay militant agenda would have you believe that. I think that's part of 90s political correctness to think that, but I think no one forces you to be homosexual, and so homosexual acts are engaged in by choice, and so you can easily choose to have sex with a man or sex with a woman. I mean, it's not like we are, fruit flies acting towards some sort of evolutionary prime directive, and we're running purely on instinct.
That's amazing.
So,
I want you and people to explain this to me. I hope somebody calls. This is like the news event of the year.
I'm sorry it came off so suddenly with this. I had meant to talk to you about it privately since we had had some of that sexual contact between ourselves in the past. I wanted to break it to you more more subtly, but
well,
can I say just as always, love here on Loveline. our feelings are always laid open.
The power of emotions lays bare in front of us. That's definitely. So let's give it. What I forgot. I'm so lost now. I forgot the phone numbers.
621-WRCT and 268-WRCT. That's 621-9728.
So are you offended by the fact that gayness, in quotes, can be turned off? Or have you experienced something like that yourself? Or do you have a friend who has gone through that? Please give us a call. Country code is 1 and the area code is 412. Explain to me what this is about.
I would also actually just like to interrupt. Producer Kate has joined us at our table here on the south side, and any calls or comments directed at her can be made as well.
Corey, I'd just like to add that I'm really impressed with your candor and your calm way of presenting to us this evening this shocking news for us.
Well, thank you. I've come a long way. I mean, 2 weeks ago and 3 weeks ago and a month ago, I was really in a state of emotional distress because I wasn't sure this was the right thing, and I was getting a lot of flack from my friends and from my domestic partner, my lover, who is not at all happy with the state of affairs. But I'm trying to deal with it as best I can.
Does it entail, I don't know even how to put it into words, this is so new, that stopping being gay, does that entail not having sex with men at all?
Yeah.
I mean, is it a lack of tolerance, zero tolerance?
I guess the question that I've been wanting to ask the entire time is, if you have renounced your homosexuality, then how would you describe yourself as a sexual being at this point?
A sexual being.
Well, you know, I have never, even when I was living under the illusion of homosexuality, I have never defined myself as a homosexual. I was always a human being first, and, you know, human being, computer scientist, C++ wizard. Those are the things that defined me, the fact that I was enjoying, or at least fleetingly enjoying, the experience of sex with men was not really part of my basic persona. But indeed, I have renounced the notion of homosexuality. I am not a homosexual anymore. However, I still do engage in some homosexual acts primarily for the benefit of my lover. It's kind of a transitional thing. I still have physical sex with him in order to, as a favor to him, because he's not as far along in this process as I am.
But before you enjoyed it fleetingly, as you said, right? You enjoyed sex with him before.
Yes.
And that has that changed? Presumably part of that enjoyment was physical.
Well, I that's kind of a complicated question. The physical pleasure, I think, is still there. I still climax and undergo the physical sensations of orgasm, but spiritually,
it's devoid of meaning.
I don't have a deep feeling of spiritual connection and closure that I think the sexual act is meant to be between a man and a woman. It's sort of the highest form of communication and intimacy, and I think, you know, sex in the context of a loving relationship, there actually is a moment of transcendence where you have an experience beyond any kind of...
Not even with your partner of years. The fact that he is a man changes all that.
Well, it's a difficult problem. I mean, we're very close, and I think there's a very strong male fellowship between us and a form of love.
Male bonding?
It's a form of male bonding, and we're extremely close. And, you know, if I had to lay down my life in order to save his, I would, because, you know, we're as close as two men could be.
But that's just not as close as a man and a woman can be.
That's right. I don't think it's possible for people in this kind of unnatural union to be as close as a male and female couple can be.
I've never heard anything like this. Have you?
Absolutely not. I'm still wondering. You haven't answered my question yet.
Oh, can you repeat your question?
Which was, so what do you describe yourself as now?
Well, I did touch on that when I said that I don't put my I don't think it's appropriate to label oneself as the kind of sex you enjoy. I mean, do you label yourself as a heterosexual because penis-vagina contact is the primary thing that defines you?
No.
Well, exactly. So I don't either.
Okay, then perhaps the better question is, what would society label you at this point?
I think an ex-homosexual, ex-gay, because I was homosexual, or at least thought I was, but I realized that that's just a trap.
How long was this? Yeah?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Kate.
Do you think that society really only tries to find labels for the extremes of sexuality? I mean, the way I've always kind of thought of it is that there's kind of a scale, and almost everyone has had homosexual thoughts or feelings of some kind at some point in their life, and it's only the people that choose to embrace that and make it a lifestyle that get labeled a certain way. And if you fall somewhere in between, people aren't necessarily so desperate to find a label for you unless you choose to create one for yourself.
Yeah, I think that's true.
Well, I think that's a good point, but I would suggest that scale is not, it's not a flat scale. It's more, you should think of it this way, it's how far have you fallen away from ideal human expression. I mean, I think male-female interaction is the way men and women were meant to interact, the way people were meant to interact sexually, and in a sense, the scale is, you know, it's a deviation index. How far, how perverted have you become from the human norm?
You're a born-again heterosexual.
Well, I mean, it's interesting that you should say that because, I mean, I think I am. There's a lot in my feelings that parallel the experience of born-again Christianity, but I should say that I don't consider myself a Christian, although there are some spiritual aspects to this conversion. I was doing some research on the World Wide Web, and there are some ex-gay Christian ministries out there with a lot of very interesting information and testimonials. But I don't consider myself Christian, although I do feel some kind of, there's something calling me from when I read these web pages. I do sense some kind of perhaps a higher power or a spirit telling me that there's something here that I should be paying attention to.
The power of the internet.
I'm impressed even with your choice of words and expressing yourself, Corey, because some of the words like what's natural and what seems right are phrases which in the 90s have gotten people put in very bad places. It takes a lot to say, to even be able to phrase things that way, even though some of us at certain sometimes, well, regarding a lot of topics, would like to. It's impressive when people really do.
To his credit, he's always been very honest with his emotions. Now that his emotions have turned unpopular, he still stands by them. That's right.
And I mean, I can only talk about my own feelings and what feels right for me. I would not stand on some kind of tribunal and, you know, have all of the homosexuals imprisoned or whatever. I mean, I'm not trying to judge other people or condemn them. I'm just, I believe that we all, you know, try to evolve to as pure a state as we can, and some people get further than others in that process.
Do you want to save them?
I would like to share. I mean, admittedly, I struggle every day. I'm by no means perfect, but I would like to share how rewarding it is to live a more pure lifestyle. It actually is. I am profoundly happier than I was even a few weeks ago due to this process, and I'm learning new things through my meditation and through understanding of my impulses and my reactions. I'm learning how to be a better person every day.
I think it was George Bernard Shaw who said that the fact that Christians, or in this case ex-gay, are happier than the others is no more to the point than a drunk is happier than a sober person. What do you think about that? Are you afraid that maybe your decision, irreversible perhaps, is...
Well, I'm not really familiar with that quote, but I would suggest that the reason I'm happier is not because I'm more deluded or because I've lost some of my mental faculties, but it's because I've actually concentrated harder on what the right thing to do is and what the right way to be is, And finally, just through the application of logic and reason and my intuitive common sense, I had this breakthrough where I realized that I had to slough away the old me.
So how long has this been brewing?
Well, I mean, it depends how you define that. I think...
When did you start suspecting that you were fooling yourself?
I think it's more of a question of different kinds of phases. When I was younger, when I was a teenager, and was having homosexual feelings, but suppressing them, I think that was, even before I was a teenager, the fact that there was this conflict suggests that there were at least two warring sides inside my mind. There was part of me wanted to go on the natural kind of the course along which humans were sort of evolutionarily designed to go on. I mean, whether it was according to evolution or to some greater design, I don't know. But there was certainly part of my body wanted to follow the natural course, and part of my body wanted to seek kind of this more kind of decadent, unusual kind of sexuality, I guess you would call it. And so I think those two forces raged for a long time, I did not have very much sexual contact in my teens because of this. I decided to suppress my sexuality because it clearly, it wasn't clearly resolved how I should be. Finally, in my 20s, I guess the homosexual side won out more, and I was comfortable, or so I thought, with my homosexuality, and started actively participating in the gay lifestyle, such as it is. But there were a lot of course, disappointments and unhappy experiences there, which were also. Yeah,
and it's true that straight people don't have disappointments. So, in that sense, that was a good sign that you were becoming.
I mean, part of it too is, I mean, I know you're saying that sort of semi-humorously. I mean, I know straight people have problems too, but I think, I think there's plenty of evidence that the gay lifestyle is more directed toward immediate sexual gratification. I mean, you don't see women hanging around at truck stops and rest areas. cruising for sex, or hanging out in mall restrooms cruising for sex.
You don't?
Well, yes, but they're cruising for heterosex, not for homosex. So, actually, I think we have a common friend, a woman who used to be or classify herself as a lesbian a long time ago. I'm talking to Jake now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you ever get any understanding of that transition?
It was brief. Yes, I did have a female friend who classified herself as who still, to this day, describes herself as a lesbian, and for a brief period had a boyfriend and renounced her lesbianism.
Renounced? Why? Because the boyfriend required it? Or
no.
Was it more something more personal, like
No, it was absolutely her choice, and she stuck with it for a little while, then described herself more actively as a bisexual for a while, and as far as I know, returned to describing herself completely as a lesbian within a year.
So she found it most natural to be a lesbian. So that doesn't throw any light into... I feel like I don't know you anymore. And not that our encounters were... that you really weren't that good, but I guess that's another sign of the problems that you were having with Islam.
Well, that could be. I may never have fully accepted my homosexual side. There may always have been a certain lack of passion there for that reason, because I was always in conflict.
Yeah.
So can I understand that you have actually, that you are actively undertaking a heterosexual lifestyle?
Well, I'm actively interested in it. I don't really know what the next step is. I mean, ultimately, of course, I would like to find a woman to settle down with and marry, and finish our lives together.
The horror. I mean, it's anathema to you.
But I have to say right now, in my meditation, I think it's clear that I'm not quite ready to get into a relationship with a woman because I have to be 100% sure that I'm committed. I can't make some woman part of this. I mean, although I don't call it an experiment, I'm sure this is the way I'm going to be. At the same time, I don't think it's moral to involve another person and their feelings and their future in this situation right now because it's potentially volatile. But indeed, ultimately, yes, and so as part of my experiments, as part of my transition towards heterosexuality, you know, I'm incorporating heterosexuality into my masturbation fantasies.
So you need more time now?
it is true sometimes that it has actually been a lot more difficult when fantasizing about women to achieve an orgasm because, but I attribute that just towards having habitualized myself for years towards eroticizing men rather than women.
Women have more things to play with, so it's probably easier to fantasize about the woman, you know, the model woman, somebody who's not somebody you know, just because you can imagine more buttons and things to push and suck and press. Yeah.
I would like to interject right now and say that we just had a caller who, in addition to their praise of our show, raised a point in that he thinks that most people's first sexual experiences, regardless of their orientation, tend to be a disappointment because of the image that they have of it that's produced by the media, and also as a result of having experienced their own sexual pleasure. Through masturbation or whatever before ever having gotten involved in relationships with other people. And then he thought that regardless that it was just largely a disappointing experience for almost everyone. I always thought that was an interesting point that I kind of disagree with, but...
Yeah, I'd rebut that because that is such common conventional wisdom at this point that a lot of people are sort of prepared for that letdown.
Well, I think also, I mean, for some people, myself included, the sexual experience with another person is much more fulfilling than anything that I could do for myself.
Hear, hear.
Purely because there's someone else there.
Hear, hear.
And they're so much more involved in the relationship than just where they touch me and what they, you know,
yes.
What they physically do to me.
Yes, and it's a lot better than anything that the media portrays, at least in my case.
Well, but have you tried the numb hand trick?
I must say, maybe I have not.
If you sit on your hand for a while or hang it over a chair or something until it gets numb and then masturbate yourself, it actually feels like someone else's hand because...
I've tried with my left hand. It kind of has the same feeling.
Yeah, right.
But Kate kind of tried that, so... Well, maybe.
I'm sorry?
No. Kate is ambidextrous?
That's right. She is. So, that's an interesting point by the caller. It's too bad that he or she didn't want to come on the air.
Yeah, I offered, but, you know.
Yeah. I think I've heard that point of view from a lot of people, that the first sexual experience is a disappointment, that in fact, if your first sexual experience is with somebody of your own sex, you might turn out to be heterosexual.
Yeah. I've also heard that. It seems like I heard that more when I was younger, that the older I get, the more people tell me that their first experiences get better. Meaning that as I and my friends get older, and I still have friends to this day. I mean, I'm 25 years old, and I still have friends that are experiencing their first sexual experiences. I think that their experiences are more positive than people I knew when I was like maybe 16, 18 years old, and were experimenting with that sort of thing.
Well, mine was fairly late in life, so I recommend it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I do too, but it's just interesting, I think.
Yeah, I guess if I can remember back to, you know, the many decades ago that I was at that age, losing my virginity, I think I had this idea, and I'm not totally sure about this, that for as long as you did the right things physically, just what you said before, Kate, for as long as you did the right things physically, this magic of love and sexual passion would arise, and of course that's not the case. So maybe that's why being young... makes for a disappointment. Well, no, you just go there thinking, okay, just like in math class, I do 2 plus 2 equals 4. Over here, I just have to get naked and put myself between her legs. And then it will be a wonderful experience that I'll remember for the rest of my life. And that's probably not true.
I think we've kind of gotten a little bit away from the point, but I think that's also interesting.
Well, I kind of like getting away from the point because this is very interesting, color changing, but it's heavily... It's very distressing as well. I think I would like some time to get used to it. But of course, you probably... Do you want to talk more about it?
I don't know. I'm willing to entertain further questions, I guess. We should remind our callers what the phone numbers are. 621-WRCT.
268-WRCT. WRCT spells 9728. Country code is 1. Area code is 412 if you're listening to us on the World Wide Web.
I have a question for you, Corey. Does this have anything to do with that ear thing that happened in the beginning of last semester?
I'm still remembering that ear thing, and I saw the woman the other day. Go on, please.
Well, it's actually very funny that you should mention that because that was probably... the singular, most pleasurable, most arousing contact I've ever had with another human being. For those listeners who weren't paying attention,
this was with Charisse. Is that her name?
Charisse.
Oh,
yes.
Charisse.
And she was demonstrating. I don't know what we were talking about, but she was demonstrating her various sexual techniques, and she put her tongue in my ear, and it just felt so right. And I had never felt that kind of exquisite pleasure from a man before, and it's actually what what started the ball rolling in these thoughts that I had. You know, maybe
curious that something is so interchangeable as a tongue in an ear would set off something like that.
And I've had men's tongues in my ear, don't get me wrong.
Well, you know, I have to continue to be the skeptic. I'm sorry. I appreciate you. I even love you, but this is too distressing. So the I also never had such a wonderful or arousing or whatever you call it experience by somebody putting a tongue in my ear as that night. And I have had women's tongues in my ear before. So maybe it's just that she had a special technique, and maybe through enough education, a man could learn the same thing.
It's possible. I mean, as...
we need a degree on that.
Right. I was going to say, as... You know, I am a human being first, of course, but my training is in computer science, and of course, as a scientist, I have to keep my mind rationally open to all possibilities. And maybe, you know, I'm willing to entertain theories that, you know, male-to-male sex is in some sense equivalent to the normal heterosexual variety, but my experience seems to not agree with that.
Well, I can't speak for sticking my tongue in men's ears, but after a loss at a poker game, actually, I was directed to provide my an ex-lover of mine with an orgasm achieved entirely through contact with her ear. So it is possible for a man to have this sort of technique.
You succeeded.
Yes.
She faked it.
She would debate this, too. No, she didn't. She had very sensitive ears.
I'm troubled by that story, but so... Is that someone we've had on the air here in the past?
No.
Yeah, because you were here with somebody, Alex, I think her name was.
Yes.
So you're around with her all the time.
Yes.
And in the mornings very often as well.
Yes, yes. She lives down the street from me.
Ah, down the street. Okay.
Works in my department.
Oh, that's too bad.
I
can I have a coffee, please?
I think that's... when does this cafe close, by the way?
Well, it's the Loveland Cafe, so they'll stay open for us.
All right. I think that's another clue that the heterosexual union is stronger than the homosexual one. The fact that you can achieve pleasure with the right partner merely by you know, stimulating a normally non-sexual body part. I think it's astounding.
I'm not sure I'm convinced by these endpoint descriptions, and I've always wanted to bring up this topic.
Endpoint descriptions?
Oh, heterosexual and homosexual.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm.
And producer Kate brought it up earlier that there is that it's quite possibly much more of a continuum. And personally,
I disputed that.
Yes. And personally, I believe that it is, that there is a continuum present in everyone. And perhaps one way of looking at it is...
But there's something that is not a continuum, which is the moment you decide to call yourself something.
Yes, I'm sure.
You don't call yourself half a homosexual, right? You don't decide slowly to call yourself a homosexual.
And you can certainly label yourself, but, I mean, we've already had resistance of labels this evening.
I certainly know a lot of people. I was just talking to somebody tonight who labeled himself as heterosexual but curious, you know, in the right set of circumstances. And I was just reading the Inquirer, actually. Sybil Shepherd has gone on record as saying she is ready for a lesbian encounter with the right woman.
She just wants TV ratings, I think.
Well, it could be a shallow manipulative ploy, it's true, but I think that there are a lot of people who at least in theory kind of appreciate the fantasy ideal of doing something different sexually.
Well, absolutely, and I think that's sort of what I meant before, although I described it differently. It's that I think that there are lots and lots of people that label themselves as heterosexual, but they have at one point in time had homosexual fantasies, thoughts, they've been curious about it, they've considered it as something that they could do.
Yeah.
Whether or not they choose to, I mean, I think it's normal, and even, you know, the biggest rugby player there is that, you know, wouldn't, you know, tolerate anyone accusing them of any kind of deviant thought. And like, when he's in the locker room every once in a while, you know, he's peeped and he's thought about it. I mean, I think
I thought you were referring to the women's rugby team, and I was going to say that was a seriously flawed analogy.
no. Well, but even, you know, the daintiest cheerleader, whoever you want to stereotype as being the most heterosexual person you can think of, has had that kind of thought or feeling before. I'm convinced.
Right, well,
of it.
But there's a difference between thought and action. I mean,
I don't think there's that much difference.
I have thought about, you know, shooting crack. What do you smoke crack? Shooting heroin. But I choose not to. Now, why?
Yeah.
Because you make a decision that it's not appropriate for you. So people might think about the desirability of a homosexual encounter, but ultimately, why aren't they acting on it? I think that's a serious question.
I agree with you. But I think that just choosing a label for yourself doesn't necessarily clarify that category for you. I mean, you can call yourself whatever you want. What you think and what you feel is different.
Yeah, that's true. So how does that so basically you might not try it in your case, DJ Delilah, the case you proposed of you know, shooting crack, or if you were the rugby player that was mentioned, you would not consider a homosexual encounter, and that's because of a taboo, really, right? So.
Well, is it? I guess I wonder. I mean, people seem to people break through the taboos that they want to break through.
No, no. Well, what are the strongest taboos? What is the strong taboo?
Incest.
Incest, for example. Most people don't break through that. And probably there is no reason.
Well, but it's not for... And so, but there's this interesting question of, you think about all kinds of things that you might want to do. But you ultimately decide against them. Is it just because they're taboo, or should the reasoning be applied the other way? You decide not to do them, and that coincides with them being a taboo. Like, I don't have sex with my mother, not just because it's not allowed by society, but because I decide ultimately it's not a good thing for us to be doing.
But I think the rugby player would say the same thing. The gay rugby player who had not come out even to himself would say the same thing.
When did the rugby player become gay?
Well, you know, one of those very macho men that will beat you up because you suggest they might like a man.
Okay. Yes.
And they're so insecure about their heterosexuality.
There you go.
Those guys, right? They would never think that they will never consider a homosexual encounter, right? They will think that it's wrong, that it's unnatural, just like your new belief. And they would say the same thing that you just said about incest.
I don't know. I have a problem with this kind of discussion because, you know, you are imposing your own cultural paradigm on how you might think a gay or wanting to be gay rugby player might think, and then I have to argue about what that same rugby player might not think. I mean,
that's totally fair.
How hypothetical can you get? I mean, I can talk about my feelings, and you can talk about your feelings, and producer Kate can talk about her feelings and so on. But you know, let's try to keep it within that domain. This is just a suggestion.
That's true. That's fair.
Well, I have a question, Corey. When you say that it's what's natural for a man and a woman to want to be together, is that what's natural for you, or do you think that that is ultimately the best way to find fulfillment?
That is indeed a question I've been struggling with. I mean, I would like, you know,
part of the capital N, as it were.
Exactly. I mean, I would like to. As I said, I don't feel like a very condemning person, and I think people need to seek their own truths. So ultimately, I can only really answer for what feels right for me. But I guess I do have a feeling that, based on my experiences and based on the experiences that my friends have had, which are similar to mine, it does seem like homosexuality is a dead end lifestyle for a lot of reasons. I mean, I think. The experiences of myself and my friends, plus the application of basic logic and basic cause and effect, which I think we all have to agree on. You know, you have to agree on the axioms of, you know.
So are you saying that procreation is...
Well, if there is a gene for gayness, it's certainly going to disappear soon.
The ultimate form of recessive, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean...
Well, I mean, if that were true, then how did it become as, I mean, I don't want to say dominant, but as expressed as it is now? I mean, it can't necessarily just be something that's dominant or recessive. I mean...
Well, because of your continuum, gay men will also have sex with women and have children.
No, I mean, I actually think this whole discussion just sort of reflects a basic misunderstanding of genetics. I mean, I think that heterosexuals, if there is a gay set of genes, they can be all mixed into the heterosexual gene pool and then not express themselves unless a husband or wife mix their genes in just the right way. I mean, it can happen. It can be part of the gene pool, and it can be passed on through heterosexuals, although not express itself in heterosexuals. I mean, that happens with all kinds of other genes.
That's not an argument to say that it's not natural.
Right. I don't think you can prove that it's not genetic just by the whole, like, the whole argument that homosexuals typically don't reproduce. I think that's a fallacy.
Yeah, I would agree.
I was being the devil's advocate, that's all.
But to go back to your previous question, which I forgot, so based on my experiences and the experiences of my friends, you know, I just think the gay lifestyle just doesn't work. It's a dead end, and you know, I think there is a fixation on immediate sexual gratification. I read something on the web. Like I said, I don't really consider myself a Christian necessarily, but I thought this was very well put. It was godly sex is an extension of the intimacy between a husband and wife. Worldly sex is a perverse, destructive form of self-gratification.
Well, wouldn't that describe any form of non-procreative sex, whether it's heterosexual or homosexual?
And eating Big Macs and going to watch Hollywood movies, too.
Indeed. I mean, and in fact, I actually agree with that. Any activity which is primarily focused on pleasure for yourself is ultimately a dead end. It's not spiritually satisfying, and it's not rewarding in any broader sense than the immediate orgasm. And actually, I realized the other day, I have talked about this many times on the show, how after my climax, how angry and bitter I become immediately after orgasm. This is a matter of public record. And I think this is why, is because I was focused too much on this perverse self-destructive self-gratification and not on larger issues like procreation or forming a strong bond with my wife. These are the things which I think...
Well, one can focus on one's partner's pleasure without one's partner being a different sex.
Well, I think that issue, Corey, transcends from someone's sexual orientation, because I think there are lots of heterosexuals today that pursue the same type of lifestyle for themselves.
The self-gratification, right?
Yeah.
I disagree. I think I agree with you there. Of course, the very... At least the stereotype is... I mean, I don't know. I actually don't have a poll of how many people are living in healthy, rewarding lifestyles and how many people are pursuing perverted lifestyles. But I think, you know, all you have to do is go to Chauncey's and you can see plenty of the latter.
Plenty of perverted ones there, yes, absolutely.
Donzie's, is there a difference between those?
Yes, actually.
Yeah, right next
is.
To where the meat market used to be.
There's
market
a very
square.
Subtle difference in that their geography is different, but otherwise you could be in one and not know the difference from that.
The heights of the hair are different as well. So, fascinating. So what are we supposed to do? You were a happy kind of guy. No, you know, you had this act of unhappiness, but you were a happy kind of guy. And now you're telling us you're happy too. So what are we to believe? How are we going to tell? Help us, man.
Well, the earlier kind of happy, that was more of a worldly, self-destructive, self-gratifying kind of happiness.
You were happy like the guy who's driving at 120 miles per hour or something.
Exactly. I was happy like the happy drunk. I believe somebody mentioned that analogy earlier. Now I can't say that I'm happy right now. I'm intrigued by the changes that I'm feeling in myself, and I'm intrigued by what I'm learning, and the scientific curiosity which has been imbued in me by my training as a computer scientist has been sparked by all this new knowledge and all of this new research. In fact, I'm in some sense doing a dissertation on my own body. And so I'm in a state of profound intellectual arousal right now. But I can't say that I'm happy, I'm sure I'm not happy because so many things are in flux. You know, like I said, I've been with my male partner for 4 years now, and he's certainly not happy about what will probably be the dissolution of our former homosexual relationship and the transition into a different kind of relationship. He would like things to remain at the status quo, but of course, you know, you have to realize in life nothing remains.
You'll go hunting or
nothing
something
remains
in a few years.
I'm sorry?
Maybe in a few years you'll go hunting together, or who knows, deer season. Yeah, that's shocking. I still don't know. I still don't know how to handle that hot potato. What is your wife, when you, if you get married, what is she going to think when you say, hey, honey, I'm going to the bar with the guys, you know?
Well, you have to clarify that. I mean, lots of husbands go
with
their drinking buddies.
Right.
The question is, will she be worried that I'm actually out going out to have sex with them? Is that your question?
Yeah, there will be a question in her mind whether, you know, which of them is the real you. You're in a sense, you know, you've in a sense betrayed the country, maybe two.
Perhaps a related question, do you intend to maintain your links to the homosexual society?
Well, to some degree that would be, you know, impossible, because in some sense when you do something like this, you have to, at least for the short term, protect yourself from all of the temptations that you normally surround yourself with. So I have, you know, I had an incredibly large collection of homosexual pornography and gay porn, gay films, you know, gay videos, various kinds of sex toys. You know, I had to purge my apartment of those things. And, you know, I've needed to associate less with my gay friends and so on. And after a while, I think once I've settled into my new role, those things won't be temptations anymore, and I'll feel comfortable associating with my gay friends and so on. But right now, it's too much of a temptation to fall back into that highly charged sexual lifestyle that I was in.
It's too bad there isn't a patch for that.
You know, Indeed. Well, I guess in some sense, if you use the kind of addiction sense, I have gone cold turkey for the most part. You know, the analogy to the patch would be I'd throw away a little bit of porn every day, or I'd have, you know, three anonymous sexual encounters instead of four or whatever. But so I have pretty much gone cold turkey. The only thing that I still do, of course, is I still have this physical sexual relationship with my partner, just because, you know, I mean, just there are unfortunately no rules in life. There's no rule book that tells you how to handle things, and I just thought the best way to transition into a new relationship with him is to do it gradually. I think it would be too painful and too cruel, given our history, even if our previous relationship was a charade. It was probably too difficult to go cold turkey on him. I don't know if he's emotionally ready to handle that kind of sudden psychological break.
With regards to a hypothetical future spouse, though, I think that someone who's predisposed to feel that way is going to feel that way regardless of who they're with. I mean, if they want to use the fact that you were a former homosexual to make them feel insecure or worry about you going out with someone, then they're going to do that. But I'm sure that, I mean...
I see what you mean. So
someone's going to look for excuses to be insecure about things that they want to.
Right, right. Are you sure you're going with your friends? You're not going with some boozy downtown, right?
Yeah, you're going out with your buddies after work. Are you sure it's not your secretary and you're going to a hotel kind of thing? I mean,
I think that's a very good point. You know, trust, of course, is an essential component of any relationship. And
do you
either have it or you don't.
Do you think trust is more possible or easier to achieve between a man and a woman?
Well, you know, that's a very difficult question. I think there can be trust in a non-sexual male-male relationship. You know, I think men can be very close. You know, there's plenty of examples of people in history that you read about that are men who, like I said, who would lay down their lives for each other because they care about each other that deeply. So that kind of trust certainly exists. I think in a homosexual sexual relationship, because the sexual act is so self-gratifying, I think you can't have full trust because, you know, your partner will always be looking for, you know, I think men kind of in that kind of relationship always have a roving eye for, like, you know, what's new around the corner, or what, you know, some hot young 18-year-old walks down the street and they're always checking them out and so on. So I think, I don't know. Help me out here.
Well, this is a discovery that we'll be following over the next,
with great interest.
With great interest. Join us next week for another edition of Loveline Cafe. We'll be here at the cafe, perhaps, or perhaps we'll have a guest, in which case we should go to the studio. We don't know yet. At any rate, thank you for listening.
This is WRCT. It's midnight. Thank you for listening.
Can I have the bill, please?
Thank you for listening, and thank you for sharing this time with me, and thank you for your support.
Well, I'm sorry I couldn't support you better. I was too shocked. We'll talk.